We're going to read a few verses, just a few verses, in the Old Testament and the Song of Solomon. And if you get the book of Isaiah there, which is fairly central, and you just go back one wee step, you're into the book of the Song of Solomon. And we'll read a few verses there in chapter 4. And we're thinking this morning about the garden of our lives. We want to take a look at that today. And in chapter 4 and verse 12 of the Song of Solomon, we read these words: "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are in an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice, and I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink ye, drink abundantly, O beloved." We'll end there at the end of that verse with thanksgiving to God for His word that we are privileged to have, and we trust that as we face these days and coming days and the uncertainty of the world that we live in, that the word of God will even become increasingly precious to us, and that day by day as we read it, you know, we don't have to read whole chapters of the Bible in one day. We just need to get something there in the Bible. Doesn't necessarily need to be a whole long a list, but just to get that gives us a good wee start for the day. And maybe your day is difficult, maybe the morning is difficult. Well, then the noon comes and the evening time comes, and if you've had a good day, we can give thanks. If you had a difficult day, well, you're more even cast upon the Lord than in the evening time, and you want to rest your mind and your body and you to rest in the Word of God. The Bible is precious and wonderful, and we want to stay with it. Blessed be the Lord. I want to turn your attention quickly this morning to a portion we read together. in the Song of Solomon. And we're turning our thoughts for a little time this morning. I might have been on this subject with you before, but quite often, you know, I lose trace of what I have preached on before. But if anything lives to my soul when I have to take a service, you know, I'll be like C.H. Spurgeon, who said, You know, a minister can only preach a sermon well when he has preached it 20 times. And the word is ever new. That's the lovely thing about it. And so this morning, friends, whether you've heard this before or not, I'm not sure. I don't know how many of you are fond of gardening, or whether it's the husband does gardening or the wife that does the gardening. Maybe you do it together. Maybe neither of you are keen and interested in gardening. It's not everybody's scene. But for those that can do it and do it and do it well, it's a lovely sight to behold. And you know, the Lord himself must be fond of the garden, because that's where he put our first parents, in that beautiful garden of Eden. And I'm sure that was a wonderful sight to see. I know that ugly things came into the garden then, and sin came into the garden, and sin is still around, but sin still doesn't spoil the beauty of a nice garden. And the lovely flowers, despite sin and wickedness and evil in the world, those beautiful flowers still come up and cheer your thoughts and minds when you look at them. You know, and as Jesus said, didn't he, to the Pharisees, you know, look at these that are growing here. Even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these. Sometimes we could take these beautiful things for granted and pass on. But to ponder them is a wonderful thing. And he speaks here of a garden. And the garden I want you to think about for a little time is not that that's at your house or before before your eyes, maybe every day that you get up. It's the garden of our lives. A garden enclosed. And I want you to ask yourself, as I asked myself this morning, how is it with these gardens of ours? Maybe you've been pulling out weeds and things that are not adorning the garden at all, and you've been getting rid of them and so on. I need to think about these gardens of our lives. How are they this month? We have a master gardener who has done it all for us to have these gardens of ours, gardens of beauty. And so we want to look at our gardens. He says here, a garden enclosed. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. You see, a garden needs to be enclosed, doesn't it? If you have a garden, you know, it's not lying open to donkeys and horses and dogs and everything that wants to get into that garden and trespass in it. You have some sort of protection around the garden. You have it in that sort of way that is quite a private little place. It's enclosed. And that's how Job's life was. When Satan and the Lord were discussing this man's life, Job, what did Satan say to the Lord? He says, Lord, you put a hedge around him. But he said, take the hedge away. And then he says, I will do what I want to do to his life. And in the amazing plans and purposes of God that so often we find difficult to understand, the Lord removed the hedge and allowed Satan to have a go at Job. But we know at the end of the day, Job triumphed. So, a life, a garden that is going to be a garden of beauty to the Lord is a garden that must be enclosed. And we are given that to enclose our gardens. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the beautiful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the blessing of prayer and fellowship. We are surrounded by the presence of the Master Gardener himself. We have a protection. When we are Christians, we have that protection, which is very special. Paul is speaking of it in Ephesians 6 when he speaks about putting on the whole armor of God. So that everything that in that world out there that's of evil is not allowed into the garden. He says a garden enclosed. Everything's not allowed in. But for the dear man or woman who's not saved and under the shelter of the blood of the Lamb and the Word of God and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and prayer, their lives are exposed, their gardens are exposed to everything out in that world that wants to intrude in that garden. So the garden needs to be enclosed with all that the protection that God has provided, so that gardens can be a garden of honor to him. And not only, friend, is a garden a place that's enclosed, there has to be access to the garden. You know, if I came to your place and you had walls 6 feet high and no door, no gate, and I say to you, hey, brother, what's this about? Oh, that's going to be my garden. Well, and how are you going to get into it? And if you don't get into it, what shape will it be in 6 months' time? It'll just be a mess. There has to be access to the garden. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. There has to be access to the garden. Let my beloved, he says here, come into his garden. Tell me this morning, friend, has there ever been a day, an hour, or a time when you said to the Master Gardener, come into my garden? Come into my garden. Because unless he gets into the garden, there'll never be a garden that's going to bring joy and honor to his great name. There's something else about the garden. The garden is the way the owner wants it. You know, sometimes, maybe the garden's not the way that the husband wants it. Maybe it's not the way the wife wants it. But generally speaking, the garden is the way the owner wants it. You know, if you were setting out a nice garden this week, and you phoned me up and you said, Colwell, you were talking about a garden there on the Lord's Day, and I'm actually just setting out my garden just now. What way would you want it done? I'd say that's strange that you should be asked
me that question. I'm not the owner of the garden. It's the way the owner wants it. You see, because we're his by creation and we're his by redemption, and the good book says, ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. So, the garden really at the end of the day is not ours. It belongs to the one who has made us. It's the way the owner wants it. And then, friends, there's something else about the garden. For those of you who have maybe bought a property and the garden was in very bad shape, if there was any garden at all, and you set about turning that into something of beauty, and there were dockings in there, and there were nettles and thistles and weeds of one kind and another, and you set about transforming that piece of ground, that garden. And it cost you sweat and energy and commitment and maybe even tears. And you turned it round. And you turned it into that neighbors passing and looking at it were astounded at what now they were looking at in comparison to what it was previously. And the sun is sinking in the western sky. And your day's work is done. And you're leaning over the garden wall. And you're looking at that thrills you. And it brings great satisfaction to your mind and thoughts what it was, what it is now. And you look at your hand, and you think that maybe there was a day when you were working, and maybe the gardening gloves weren't available, or you had lost them, or whatever. And you remember scratches, and maybe blood. Or I was speaking to a lady one day, and she was very much in her garden working, and she just had very short little gloves, and there were pricks on her arms and down to her wrists, and you know, you could see there how these things that she was removing, you know, were abusing her in that way. The hands, you look at your hands and you think, what those hands have done in that garden. My feet couldn't have done it. My head couldn't have done it. My eyes couldn't have done it. My ears couldn't have done it. But my hands did it. And listen, people, there are hands in heaven this morning that bear the marks of Calvary, hands that were given to the nails, the hands that this very day can uproot the weeds of sin from these gardens and turn ugly hearts and souls and minds into that is a beauty to Jesus. Brings you great satisfaction Jesus said as he looked upon his church at the end of the day, gathered home to heaven, the last verse of Isaiah 53, and he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Satisfied. Oh, that the master gardener would be in, removing those weeds of pride, rebellion, self-righteousness, greed, jealousy, fear, and the most wicked weed of all that grows in the human garden, unless the master gardener, the most wicked weed of all, is the weed of Christ rejecting. We shall not have this man to reign over us. Take your Bible, take your church, take your religion, take it. It's not for us. The weed of Christ's rejection. That must come out if the garden is going to be to the praise of the master gardener himself. And when those weeds come out, what about the lovely things that comes in? What about those lovely things that come in of love and joy and peace and grace? These things that through Jesus he's provided, and he turns the ugly garden into a garden of beauty. Then he says, come thou north wind and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Come thou north wind. We don't ask for the north wind. We've had a lot of southerly wind in these past couple of weeks. We don't ask for the north wind, but we know the north wind may blow again. What is he speaking of here, friends? But the trials of life, the testings, when adversity comes, when sickness comes, when bitter disappointment comes, when there are more questions than answers that come, when things happen that we cannot explain and we can't understand, and we would be saying to the Lord, what's the purpose in it all? And you're going through the trials, and the son goes the wrong way, and the daughter goes the wrong way, and there are disappointments of one kind and another, and business is not what you want it to be, and you're not having the answers to prayer that you would like to have answered. The north wind of testing can be upon you. It was upon Joseph, wasn't it, when he languished in the prison through no fault of his own? When it was on Brother Paul, when he went through it and was beaten to the extent that he was left to die, the north wind was upon him. What about old Job himself, when even his wife let him down, lost his family, his herds and stock and all that went with it, and his health? The north wind was upon him. And if we turn our gaze in another direction, friends, and we turn it towards Calvary. When Jesus hung on the cross, and in those moments when he said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" The north wind was upon him. Testings. Come thou north wind. As I often remember, years after I had been down in mission work in Donegal, and four sons in the one family all turned to the Lord, and they had a praying mother. And on one of my return visits from Scotland, I went to visit that mother because she was on her deathbed. The only part of her body that moved was her head and neck. But the son said, "We will keep mother where she is as long as she lives." And they ministered to her and they cared for her. And I climbed a little stairway and up to her room, and I looked into the face of a person. We have all had sightings of paintings and those who made a great effort to show us something, maybe like what the angelic beings would be in heaven. Friends, that day I saw in the face of a very sick woman the countenance that belonged to another world. And the north wind was upon her. My wife's mother nursed in one of the hospitals in the town of Stornoway on the Isle of Lewis. They had a patient in that hospital, and one of those hospitals, he'd been there for many, many years. And by the nature of his problem, he was going to stay there to the end of his life. But Murdo was a bright and shining light for the Lord. And the night that he died, after being there for a long, long time, the night that he died, little groups of nurses and seasoned doctors alike gathered in the corridor, and they wept at the loss of a brother that had been a light in the hospital for all those years. The north wind, and yet, friends, come thou north wind and blow thou south. What about the wee Chinese pastor who had spent 20 years in a prison, a communist prison? And when visited by a minister that I know, when he was parting from the pastor who'd now been released from the communist prison after 20 years, he was now at home. And he said to my friend, he says, "We'll have to sing something before we part." And he said, my friend said to him, "What will we sing?" He says, "Let's sing a verse of that old hymn, 'All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?'" 20 years in a communist prison, and yet all the way my Savior leads me. The north wind, come thou north wind, and blow thou south, that the fragrance may flow out. The man on the middle cross, friends, with the north wind upon him, he took it for your sake and for my sake, and bore the north wind of the wrath of God, that the south wind of his love and forgiveness and grace might be in these gardens this morning. He says, I am come into my garden. I am come into my garden. As he looks upon your life this morning, can he say, I have come into your garden? And you know that he's come into your garden. And he's come in to turn it into a place of beauty. And those ugly things that grow, they must be uprooted. There's no point in spraying them. They've got to be uprooted and keep short accounts on them, because they'll grow again and they need to be torn out. I am come into my garden. Sharon's rose, as the old song says, bloom on, sweet flower, and point the way. Sweet rose of Sharon, blooming for me. My friends, with the help of God, let the rose of Sharon bloom in our lives, and allow the master gardener full access to the garden. Let the beauty of Eden may be restored again. What about your garden? What about my garden, Lord? Let the hand that was nailed to the tree remove what's ugly and plant what is beautiful. The good Lord bless you.